Welcome to Worst Case Scenario, a podcast about anxiety. I'm one of your hosts, Yusung.
I am your other host, Rebecca.
And the way this podcast works is each week we'll bring in something that we're anxious about, and we'll read a scene we've written about the worst case scenario for that anxiety. How are you this week?
I'm exhausted.
Yeah, me too.
I feel okay.
For our listeners, we're sorry we've been so inconsistent.
Oh, yeah. I don't believe in apologizing anymore.
Oh, okay, cool.
We didn't have an episode last week, and everything was fine.
All right. Hey, listeners, if you were sad about... No, I still have to.
The world didn't fall apart, and everyone moved on.
That's true. Okay. Look, I know we did this last episode, too. We're just getting settled in, and suddenly there's a segment, but I'd like to do worst case state of the podcast, where... I think this is going to be, and this is really sad for me to say, but the last one we do for a little bit.
I don't know why you have to phrase things in such a morose. It's a season one finale. Everything's fine. We'll be back.
It is probably, with a heavy heart.
And stop it.
I want to spend more time with my family.
God.
Yeah.
I want to spend more time avoiding my family, so...
So we're going to take a little break for a while, and we don't know if that means we're going to come back with guests or if we're going to change how the podcast works, but I think it'll be good for our mental health and for the state of the podcast.
Basically, like, the very premise of this show, the structure of it is a lot of fun to work within, but it also can be limiting because we have to come up with a thing every time, and, you know, we have... our issues, but they're not infinite.
Right. We flew too close to the sun being good mental health. and now
we're too healthy.
Yeah. We need those wax wings to melt.
Yeah. We need to take some time to get really sick again.
So wish us well, or the opposite.
But like, you know, if there are still a lot of people who haven't listened to this, so tell your friends, tell them to catch up. Say we'll be back.
We're still going to keep our eye on the email, and we're still going to reply to everything.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah.
We're not like Dunzo.
No, we're not Dunzo.
We're just taking a little break.
Yeah. Okay. How was your week? Oh, we're both exhausted.
Yeah, I fell asleep on the couch last night with all the lights on. Mm-hmm. Because here's the thing.
Right.
We were watching Handmaid's Tale last night.
Mm-hmm.
Not you and I. Me and someone else.
Yeah.
We were watching Handmaid's Tale last night, right. And
did you say that just to let the
for listeners
know,
like we don't hang out
okay,
outside of work.
Okay,
I don't want them to think that we're like friends.
No, that's fair.
Because it's so embarrassing.
God,
especially like watching TV. Like we're not those kind of friends. So
yeah, no. my well-being didn't suffer at the expense of that bit.
You do look a little pained.
No, it's fine.
That's just your normal face. So I haven't been watching TV, as I've said on the podcast, the last several months, basically since the end of 2017. I kind of have really stopped watching television for the most part. There are a couple shows I watch, but I just got sick of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And but I really did. Handmaid's Tale was really good last year, but very bleak. And we came back last night. We're recording this on a Wednesday. The podcast comes out tomorrow. So there were two episodes that were released, and I was like, you know what? I haven't been watching TV, but why don't we watch this? Because, you know, and within 5 seconds, I was like, why am I doing this to myself?
Because you're addicted or you're scared?
It's so upsetting.
Oh, okay.
It's just so bleak. It almost, when the first 30 seconds or the first minute is like a rapid fire, recap of the previous season, which is like scenes just like shot together.
Yeah.
And I literally was like, this is like an SNL digital short. This doesn't feel real. It's like just when you think it can't get more bleak, it's like, I've never watched something that's so relentlessly brutal.
Right.
And I think my tolerance for it has been shot.
Talk about Thanksgiving at my in-laws.
This is really great, like middle-aged white husband material that you're doing. It's really good.
Sorry. So
it's very like the on brand. So just the like recap alone was making me feel violently ill.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason I sat and watched both the first two episodes that have dropped.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, they're very well done. It's very good, but I felt so upset after.
Yeah,
and it was almost 1 a.m. and I was like,
Jesus.
Yeah, I'm going to stay up and just put on some like sitcoms or whatever on Hulu and just let them play
right
to like purge my brain of this and like just fuck around on my computer until like I feel like I'm not thinking about this anymore, because if I went to sleep right away, I would have had the worst dreams.
Yeah.
And that resulted in me like somewhere around 4 a.m, like falling 3:30, falling asleep on the couch, all the lights on, with like my neck at a very weird angle. And then I like woke up, it was 6:45 in the morning, and I was like, time to get ready for bed. brushed my teeth. And like, so I woke up feeling like just steaming trash.
When I finally
like pried my eyes open today. So that's how I've been feeling today.
Yeah.
But like, in general, I feel all right.
I have those nights, and then I'm like, I don't want to, in college I would have those nights, but that's okay. Cause like I would have to walk to class. Now I have to drive to work. And I can't do that. Like,
driving on like not a lot of sleep isn't safe. I don't recommend it.
Yeah.
But sometimes the adrenaline rush is enough.
Oh boy.
Here's what you do. You drink a really big glass of water, and that's pretty much it.
Okay.
And how about you?
My soul feels like it's bench pressing the devil's, I don't want to say anything gross.
Huge anxiety cock?
Yeah. Oh boy.
That's what you were thinking, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I just,
we were all thinking it.
I think because of like, factors of like work and personal stuff, yeah, what a horrible hurricane of despair.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And I don't even know what's going on with you.
I wish I could tell you.
I know.
Hence
why we haven't been available for a little bit. Are you okay?
I think I'm okay.
Okay.
I think I'll be much better in like a month or two. Mm. Yeah.
Oh, just to, and as an addendum, not to like minimize what you just said, it's very heavy, but like on the way here,
you got fries.
I feel like I need to get McDonald's fries. And I went to the drive-thru and I got some fries, and like I ate some right before we started, but I like laid them out in front of me. They're on the table and I know I can't eat them because it'll make noise and no one wants to listen to that. Unless we start doing an ASMR podcast in the interim between seasons of this, which if you down. So I'm just staring at that, and that is giving me anxiety.
Yeah, no, it's rough. I think if you, did you ever watch that viral YouTube video in the 2000s, Chocolate Rain?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then within 5 seconds, it's like, there's an asterisk, and it's like, I step away from the mic to breathe,
so you don't
hear that.
Yes.
I'm saying you can employ some of Taizonde's technique. Well,
I'm already doing that to, like, gulp down my water.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah. We just said at the exact same time. It's really upsetting.
I feel like we could hang out.
I don't want to watch Handmaid's Tale with you.
No, that's fair. I wouldn't want to do that either.
You don't want to watch that show.
No. Yeah, it seems very upsetting. I know what the conceit is, and it just seems like,
it feels like a little too real.
Hey, everyone, you got some repressed sexual stuff? Our collective unconscious does? Okay, yeah. Sure.
It's so much worse than that, though. I mean, it's just, like, the basis, like, the most degrading, like, how to degrade humanity to such an extent. It's so fucking bleak.
I don't think I need that.
That show is like a Holocaust.
Right.
I think beautiful... beautifully shot Holocaust.
Jesus Christ. I can't even. Okay. My anxiety this week. It's really basic. I know I come in here and I know I just said the phrase, it's this hurricane of sorrow or despair or something. But my anxiety is that I can't leave my doorstep in the morning. Like because I don't think I've locked my door.
Oh. Because I was going to say, well, you're here.
Yeah.
So you did, but...
No, I do it every day, but I think this is more...
This is like with your locking your car door thing.
Yeah. I think this is genuinely more like obsessive compulsive than maybe anxious, but it's certainly a problem.
They're definitely related, for sure.
Yeah. And so I've wanted to talk about this for a while. Anyway, I think we should just read my scene first. Because it'll shed some light. And there's only, usually I would read the stage directions, but since there's only two things, the stage directions and my thoughts, would you want to read the stage directions and I'll read my thoughts?
I thought you'd never ask. yeah, sure, I'll read the stage directions, what do I care?
What if it's like you're getting on an airplane and I run to the airport, I was like, Rebecca!
Sorry, I'm crying a little.
The stage directions.
Will you accept these stage directions? Fine, we can watch Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah, okay. We did it.
All right. Exterior apartment day. Yusung exits his apartment and locks the door. He takes a few steps away from his doorstep but stops in his tracks.
Wait, did I lock my door? Maybe I should go back and double check.
Yusung walks back to his door to make sure it's locked. He twists the knob back and forth to make sure he can't get in. He takes a few steps away from his doorstep but stops in his tracks.
Wait, am I sure I locked my door? Yes, of course I did. I remember doing it just now. Fuck, what if my memory of me locking my door was actually just a past memory of me locking my door? Shit.
Yusung walks back to his door. He twists the knob back and forth violently to make sure he can't get in. He takes a few steps away from his doorstep.
Fuck. Fuck. Fuck, 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 fuck. What if I just twisted the doorknob so hard that I accidentally broke the lock and that now it's unlocked? That's insane, right? That's insane.
Yusung gives up and walks back to his door. He gently twists the knob back and forth, and yes, it's locked. Still. He takes a few steps away from his doorstep. He stops.
Why, God? Why? Why can I not leave my doorstep in the morning? I know my door is locked. I know it's locked. I just need to keep walking.
A few drops of water hit the pavement. We realize that it's coming from Yusung's tears. It's like an anime. Yusung finally leaves. Interior, Yusung's apartment later. A small nail from Yusung's cabinet rolls out to the floor. It's carried by the wind as it rolls across the room. It rolls past his bed, past his failed or unfinished screenplays, past various bittersweet reminders of him studying abroad. By the way, did you know he studied abroad? All the way to his door. It hits the door in a way. It hits the wood and cracks in a way that the door unlocks itself. Yusung comes home later and doesn't notice it's unlocked, the cruelest irony being that no one even broke in. Thank you for listening to our podcast and scene. Fuck.
Yeah, dude. And okay, here's the thing. Most of the times, my roommate will be home as I'm trying to leave. So it doesn't even fucking matter that I locked the door because he's still there. And I just don't trust myself. I don't trust myself for anything.
I mean, for sure this is OCD, no?
Thank you.
I am not a therapist.
No, I know. Like I don't wash my hands like five times in a row, but I do wash my hands.
But you do wash.
Maybe too much.
I definitely wash my hands like more than other people, but.
Right.
Just because that's how I was taught when I was a kid. Like, when you come home, do you immediately wash your hands when
you
come home? Me too.
Okay, yeah.
And some people think that's weird.
Right.
I'm like, I was just outside the grime in this polluted cesspool of a city.
I think you have an excuse because you were raised in New York. I was raised upstate New York.
Yeah.
It doesn't count.
Where it's like clean. And there's still garbage and dirt.
Yeah, but.
And doorknobs and people's. I don't know.
I will say that we lived in upstate New York, and instead of washing your hands, other people would just run their hands through the Great Lakes, and then.
Fuck off. You really like? I was like, oh yeah.
I felt so bad because I knew I was leading you on in a way that's deceitful.
I didn't know where you were going, but fuck you.
No, I apologize. Handmaid's
Tale? Do you check the stove and stuff? Do you?
Fuck me, dude.
Oh, shit.
No,
I'm
it's
sorry.
Okay. No,
I'm not trying to give you more things. I just wanted to know.
When I use the stove at the end of the cooking session.
Yeah.
You can tell how much I cook by the way I say cooking session.
Yeah.
But I will check each one to make sure it's off, and I cannot stop just standing
last
there
time
and
we
were, making sure it's
last
off.
Last time we recorded, I told you about my mom coming home and smelling and going to the stove and realizing she left one of the things on. I mean, it's not insane to check.
Yeah,
it's safety. It's just when it becomes debilitating like this, when you literally can't leave. Do you go through this in the mornings a lot?
Yeah, a lot. I think
that many
on average.
Obviously, it's a scene. You're exaggerating. It's hyperbole for the scene.
It's hyperbole for the scene, but on the median and the mean
and the mode. I can meet you at your math joke level.
So after running a two variable t test, about my morning habits,
cosine.
I'd say on average 2 times. I lock my door, walk a few steps, and then check to make sure it's locked.
You lock your door.
I walk away.
You check to make sure it's locked. Then you walk away. Then you do it again.
No.
You just check it one time. You lock it and then you check it one time.
But
I've done that so many times.
There's a walk in between. There's a walk and then me not trusting myself and then I go back.
Here's the thing. I kind of do that sometimes with stuff too. But for me, I think because of my poor sleeping habits and my general lack of concentration and my also just constantly being on my phone and also just having ADD and not paying attention.
You can't see this right now, but Rebecca's reading from her resume.
Sorry. I have a scroll here. 1 second. I am paranoid about forgetting things, but it's not in a way where I'm worried for my safety.
Right.
So it is different, but that's so shitty.
You would think with the amount of times I do this that I'd be in Groundhog's Day.
Yeah.
Because of how many times it's been repeated.
Yeah. No, I got it.
And in Groundhog's Day.
We all get it.
Okay, I'm so sorry.
I never want to speak on behalf of our no listeners, but I'm pretty sure we all get it.
No, Rebecca, someone wrote in and said that my jokes are good.
I know. Okay. No, people do listen. Some people listen, and they're very nice.
No, but my jokes.
Yeah. You did screenshot that and text it to me. You're
immediately.
Very excited.
Yeah.
Never happened before and will never happen again.
I will say that, like, generally, though, like, around the workspace, mm-hmm. The people that I'm closest to are often the ones that, like, our friend Matt, he's an audio engineer.
Yeah.
My nose was bleeding one morning, and then we saw each other for the first time that day, and Matt just looks at me and is like, cut it out, please. Like, can you just cut it out? And I loved it. I don't know what that says about me.
That's so good.
Yeah.
I'm so jealous that I wasn't there and not the one who said that. That's perfect.
Yeah, I think I'm a masochist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure you are. Mm. Yeah. I think you said to me the other day.
Yeah.
You said that you like saving people, but you're also a masochist.
Yeah, I like... Yeah. I like helping others.
Yeah, helping others. That's what I meant. Helping others, but also you're a masochist.
Yeah.
They're definitely not mutually exclusive.
It's very confusing.
It makes more sense that you would want to help other people and you're a masochist than if you want to help other people and you're a sadist.
Okay, I will say in... and I'm reading this through a Freudian lens, but like...
Oh my God.
But I will say that, like, me and relationships, I've realized, mm-hmm. maybe because of the environment, maybe because of the context, uh-huh. I seek to truly destroy myself by giving everything away to the other person. What the fuck?
Like, yeah, and that's what everyone wants, right?
Yeah, just to be...
I mean, maybe you just need your ideal partner has to be as much of a sadist as you are a masochist.
Yeah, but that doesn't sound good to me either, you know?
No?
Do you think that there's such a thing as a kind and compassionate sadist?
Of course. Haven't you heard of aftercare? Guys, read up on your dub som.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, sub dom, not dub som. Your sub dom relationships.
Yeah. We encourage healthy. Oh God, I guess this CBS cares, but also this podcast.
The more you know.
Has a very. Please be healthy with your sexual.
Obviously, like, I didn't mean in a sexual way. Okay. It's funnier to take the joke there, but I meant, like, you know.
I do think that generally, though, that, like, there is a certain inherent amount of chemistry you need to find.
Like a yin-yang kind of thing, right? Like, you know.
People, read up on your yin-yang relationships.
please do.
Yeah.
Don't come back here till you've read. Pause the podcast right now. Go read up on it and come back.
We can edit this out, but do you think that you in relationships, you're more of a sadist or a masochist?
Neither. Balanced.
Wow. Mm.
Both.
Yeah, yeah.
First. Versatile.
Ambidextrous.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
We don't have to edit that out.
Okay, cool.
I don't like hurting people.
What's your social
and
security?
And I don't like to be hurt. Oh, okay. So neither.
Okay. It's not that I enjoy being hurt.
Right.
But maybe I do.
It depends on the context. We're for sure leaving it all in.
Yeah. Please send in your thoughts about what you think. If you want to diagnose me, send an email. I will respond to it.
I think it's really interesting. Do you have any insight into why? I know you just asked the audience to do this for you, but they're not here. I am. So do you have any insight into why you might be... have masochistic tendencies? Yeah.
I think it might be because the times that I have had, like, truly wanted things from myself, mm-hmm. have been met with such an abhorrently horrible response,
right.
that I don't, like, I don't know. Maybe it's self-hatred. I'm really not sure. Yeah.
Wow. I guess it's hard without you going into specifics, which you probably don't want to get into. I can't fully understand what you're referring to, and that's totally fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's interesting.
Like the thing about, like, I think it's symbolic, like the thing about the gift giving, like, and I don't want to rehash anything, blah, 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 but like gift giving in relationships is an example of me trying to destroy myself. Like,
right.
Here are these macrons.
I mean, nothing. That's lovely.
Yeah. So anyway, maybe on our break, I'll figure things out.
Yeah, I'll be waiting with bated breath because we won't be speaking during the break.
Yeah. Every day at work, Rebecca and I will.
Yeah.
We've taken a vow of silence. And
yeah.
Yeah, we won't be speaking.
It's really for the best.
Yeah. What's your anxiety?
Okay.
Yeah.
So, do you remember the Equifax breach? Yeah. I think I mentioned this once before, but I was compromised. My information was compromised.
Right.
And I kind of just blocked it out of my mind.
Right.
Because I tried to look into how to combat this horrible situation. And I truly, I couldn't. I was reading the information. My eyes were glazing over and I was getting oh, I can't deal with it. So I kind
more
of.
More like Equifuck.
Quite. and. Right-ho. And,
oh, God.
Yeah. So I kind of put it out of my mind, which is typical me avoidance, you know. And I stopped thinking about it. And that was months ago. And then in physical therapy, I was talking to my physical therapist, who's great.
Mm-hmm.
Side note, a couple weeks ago, he went into the other room to go. We were doing our exercise. And then he was going to make me a little a device to massage my scars, and so you went to the other room.
What do you mean make you a device? He's fucking pouring iron into
they literally there are certain things that they make out of plaster material that they have to it doesn't really matter. The point is that he was in another room doing something, and there were other tables, other stations where other therapists were working with people.
Yeah.
And I heard him just shout out of nowhere. He just went, "Ugh, I want carne asada fries."
what is that?
Carne asada. It's like meat. It's like Mexican meat, but fries that are smothered in meat.
So
steak.
Know you can trust this person.
Oh yeah, 100%. I've never felt closer to a person in my life. So he screamed.
Rebecca, it's fucked up that you invited him to watch Handmaid's Tale and not me.
Yeah. That's what I was wondering. My physical therapist. So he was doing that, and then the other physical therapist there were laughing. They were Andre, classic Andre.
Right.
And then he so that's, that's the kind of dude you're dealing with, a real just A+ person.
Right.
So anyway, he's great. And he came back and we were talking about he's buying a he and his wife are looking to buy a house. And he was but I'm really paranoid because I was compromising the Equifax breach. I was oh, fuck, me too. And this was before I did my taxes. Spoiler for moderate case scenario for gradual self-improvement. I did do my taxes. But,
okay, cool.
We'll talk about it later. But he was telling me I should do my taxes, obviously. But then he was did you freeze your credit? I was no.
Hmm.
And he said that someone...
You want me to put my credit card in the freezer?
I want to hit you so bad.
No, I understand.
So he said the other day someone tried to sign into one of my retirement accounts.
Jesus
I got
Christ.
My wife got an alert and she called me and was did you just try to sign into this thing? And I was no.
Hmm.
And they just had my info. And he was the thing that's so bad about it is that they didn't hack it. They didn't breach the thing so that they didn't hack Equifax so that they could use the information. They're selling the information. It's over 14 million people have been compromised. So it's really, really bad.
Yeah.
And I was fuck, I did nothing. And my credit is really good. I don't have student loans. I know it's such a fucking privilege. It's the most privileged thing about me besides being white is that I don't have student loans.
Mm-hmm. I'm dabbing right now.
Thank you. Yeah, so it really made me feel kind of sick. And he was I'm paranoid because you never know, somebody could just be stealing your identity just left and right. He's one of my patients the other day was saying that someone just tried to steal her identity at Macy's. They just tried to open a credit card with her information. And so I haven't been able to stop thinking about it, and I still haven't done anything about it.
Right.
But I need to speak to somebody who can help me, because every time I go to look it up,
right,
I just feel overwhelmed, and I feel like I'm reading it and I'm not processing the information because I'm so freaked out.
The thing is, I went to the website that you were supposed to, mm-hmm. and then they were
breached or not? You weren't compromised, right?
There's a chance you might have been compromised.
That's what mine said.
Yeah. So
mine said there's a chance. He said, yeah, if it says there's a chance, it means you were.
Okay. But then it was put in more of your information. I'm fuck no, I'm not putting in more of my information.
So you also need to do this, probably.
Probably.
Not that you need something else to be anxious about, but seriously, this is not a joke, because if they have your social security information and your tax ID and all this stuff, that's permanent information. That's you have to monitor that. He's you have to monitor your credit for the rest of your life now, because this could happen. They could lie and wait and then 30 years from now they could do something. Like,
right.
they could hold this information for so long, and when your guard is down, you least expect it, they pounce.
Right.
And so now this is like, oh, so this is just a forever
hiding
fear
in the shadows,
as they are wont to do.
Yeah.
But yeah, so now I have to like live with this dark cloud over me forever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, fuck, like, don't I have enough problems?
Right.
Why the fuck do I need this? So that's what I'm anxious about. I think with good reason. I just need to do something about it, but I don't understand how to make it stop.
Yeah. Listeners, if you have any advice,
please help.
Please genuinely help.
If any of our listeners are financial advisors, please email us at worstcasescenariopod@gmail.com.
There's this class in college called personal finance that I did not take.
Yeah, no, I took econ in high school. Like,
yeah, me too,
high school,
but that's nothing.
It was nonsense to me.
Right. Supply and demand.
I just didn't care. I was like, I'm 17. What do I care?
Right. About like macro and microeconomics,
yeah.
like on the worst, most general scale. But
right.
like there was a class called personal finance in college.
That's really helpful.
And like
yeah.
I should have
taken something like that too.
Yeah, I'm probably first day slide number one is don't fucking eat Chipotle all the time, you dummy. And like,
Yeah.
You want to read your scene?
Uh-huh.
Okay. All right. You do stage directions and I'll... And your character and I'll be everyone else.
Yeah, you're the banker.
Okay.
All right. Interior apartment night. The TV is on mute and the screen reads, Equifax breach. Millions of Americans affected. Are you one of them? Rebecca sits on the couch looking from the TV to the laptop sitting in front of her. She opens a new tab and types in the Equifax website, entering her information. She holds her breath as she clicks enter. Your information was likely compromised in the breach. Shit. Now what? She pulls up an article titled, Your Information Was Hacked in the Equifax Breach. Here's what you should do now. Rebecca scrolls through for a moment, becoming visibly agitated. Ugh. She closes the tab, shuts the laptop closed, and lies face down on the couch, screaming into the cushion. Interior bank, daytime, 10 years later. Rebecca sits across from the banker, who reviews her information on his computer.
I'm sorry to inform you of this, but we won't be able to give you a mortgage.
But I have perfect credit.
No. You certainly don't.
I don't understand.
It would appear that you already have two mortgages and student loans for three different universities in your name, and seven credit cards, and four cars, and...
Wait, no, none of that's right. That's impossible.
See for yourself.
The banker turns his monitor around to face Rebecca. Her eyes widen as she takes in the seemingly endless list of things that have been opened in her name using her social security number. Her credit score just says LOL.
That's one of the funniest things I think you've ever... Like, holy shit.
This is insane. My identity has obviously been stolen. Why wasn't I alerted about any of these things?
Were you compromised in the Equifax breach?
Yeah, actually I was.
Did you freeze your credit or do anything about it?
Well, I was going to, but when I looked up how to do it, I got really like stressed out and yeah.
Sorry, are you a baby?
What?
Are you a stupid little baby?
What? Shut up.
It stressed you out? Your life is literally ruined. You're bankrupt because you couldn't get it together to do something that takes 10 minutes.
This isn't helpful. The banker goes full on Mr. Robot, pulling up a black screen and typing random nonsense maniacally in neon green courier new font. What are you...
According to this, there are at least three different people using your identity and in as many countries. The damage runs too deep. You'll never be able to recover from this.
There's literally no way you have the ability or access to know any of that.
Don't tell me what I can know.
Fuck, what do I do now? The banker shrugs.
I don't know. Kill yourself. You're fucked forever. Good luck to you.
Right. Okay. Cool. Yeah.
Get out of my sight. You disgust me.
Rebecca slides out of her chair and shuffles out of the office on her knees. It's not even worth it to try and stand. I deserve this. End scene.
I wanted to add a thanks for using Chase at the end or something.
Yeah. I'm not good with lines.
I truly think that like this has nothing to do with the content, but when something's like, really funny, I'll just get really serious and be like, that's really funny. And that was, the credit score just says LOL. And the, are you a stupid little baby? So funny.
Thanks.
Oh my God. Yeah. Okay. We should both do something.
Yes, please.
Okay. I will say, and I know this is awful, the likelihood of me doing something is low.
Me too.
Okay. All right.
But then the like,
I know, then the
punishment could be so severe.
Yeah, the punishment could be so severe. And
please,
people,
somebody help me.
Yeah.
I need somebody to literally do this for me. I cannot do it myself.
Right,
I'm
right.
incapable of bringing myself to do this. It is too stressful.
So my bank, I couldn't believe this because it was like my bank is a little credit union in upstate New York.
Mm.
And yet I'm sure like because they probably do work with bigger banks, like they probably package stuff and do some sort of trading. Like, yeah,
it
I'm
can
sure
definitely help you. Yeah.
That my information.
I just don't know like when I went to actually do this,
yeah,
the websites that were like, oh yeah, freeze your credit, they were like via Equifax. I'm like, why should I trust you again? Fool me once, right? Like, why the fuck would I give? Why would I do this? Why would I double down on your bullshit?
It's so depressing because I don't think anything has really happened in the wake of all that. Like, no one's really been punished. And I'm sure the John Oliver Equifax thing like, shed some light on it. But I remember watching that and being bummed out.
Yeah, I nearly shat myself. I was so scared.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm really freaked out about it, but like obviously not enough to like fix it.
Right.
I don't know. Yeah. Even thinking about it right now, my head feels itchy. Like, I just feel so anxious thinking about it.
Rebecca, your nose is bleeding.
I need a fry. I'm sorry.
It's okay. Welcome to Worst Case Scenario ASMR. I am slowly unpackaging.
I overheard somebody in the office today earlier talking about that. Have you seen that Instagram or YouTube channel of that girl that just like rubs soft bread on her face?
Wait, she rubs bread?
Soft bread on her face.
Like 7-grain bread on her face.
No. Like an Asian like bun, like a soft, fluffy loaf of bread like a cloud.
I will say something.
She just rubs it all over
that
her face.
That seems sexual, right?
That's what somebody else in the office was saying, but I was listening from, I was like I wasn't eavesdropping. I was doing my work and they were talking so loudly I couldn't do my work.
Right. Yeah.
And someone was like, but isn't that sexual? And the other one was like, I don't know. I mean, I guess you could argue that it is. This is just like the mukbang argument over again. I personally don't believe that everyone watching this is experiencing some kind of sexual pleasure from it.
Uh-huh.
I know that those videos don't do that for me. And I still sometimes want to watch them because there's something like cute and pleasing about them.
But I will say this. I do get turned on when I walk into a bakery.
Oh, me too. Cannolis.
Croissants.
This is just what the podcast is now. We're just gonna shout pastries at each other. You started with macarons.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
So
baguettes.
That's crazy. She just rubs bread on her face.
Yeah, she just like rubs soft bread on her face. It's like very quiet.
I don't think I'm above rubbing bread on my face if that's my living, you know.
I would do it for free, like with no one watching. That sounds amazing.
Oh, you know, dance like no one's watching.
rub bread on your face like no one's jerking off to it.
Oh boy, we did it.
Story of my damn life.
Yeah. God. I don't know. Yeah. That is a worrying thing to because like I don't even know, I'm not even experienced enough. I haven't had enough financial experience generally to know either like the severity of this or what to do.
No, me neither. Yeah. And you know, in the same way that like when you're young, you go through your life thinking you're never gonna get sick or die.
Right.
It's a scene. You never think that your identity is going to be stolen or that like your social security number is going to be breached. I mean, thinking about it really, like think of how many times you've had to write out your social security number for random ass things. Like, I mean, already thousands of people know my social security number and I'm never going to see those people again.
Right.
I mean, every W-2 or W-9 or whatever the fuck it is that I've ever filled out for anything, like all those people, like any assistant could have left something in a drawer and it's just there forever. And like, think about that. Like, I remember when I used to be a receptionist and going through like reorganizing like filing cabinets that hadn't been sorted through in like 3 different receptionists ago and like finding all these random like people's fucking social security numbers just like employee forms, and they were just there in like an unlocked drawer. Unlocked because I unlocked it, but like anyone could have unlocked it, you know what I mean? Like just there, like we kept the key under the mouse pad, like it wasn't really like top secret, and it was just, you know, anyone can steal your shit at any time. But if someone's selling your information, someone's going to use it for something bad.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
I feel like though in that situation, if someone ever opened like a school account in your name, you would like
someone
your
would
bank
alert me,
would
right?
tell
yeah.
you, I think. I would think that
I mean, I think it's clear from how I wrote the scene that I don't know how this works.
Right.
I didn't even understand. I didn't even know how to phrase like, we can't give you a mortgage. Like, I don't know what the wording is. I don't know from mortgage.
Yeah. I was a dummy and bought Bitcoin at the height of Bitcoin. and even doing that, I don't know. But like even doing that, like because it was like a UK based company, my bank shut down my credit card. Stopped because it was like, hey, this is suspicious. No, I'm just an idiot trying to make money. Like,
Is it even like, is me even talking about this compromising myself now people know I've been compromised?
Well, I think like, we'll definitely edit the part out where you said your social security number. We'll definitely edit it out.
Yeah. I mean, I say it, that's the first thing I say when I meet people.
I don't think, I think out of the 14 million, we're fine. And then the
but I thought out of the however many million billion in the country, I thought I would be fine, and I wasn't. You know?
So. I think we're fine. I truly do. Like,
you say that now.
I don't think our demographic is mostly bankers or people like...
You don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I certainly don't know.
Yeah. Our podcast statistics are very one-dimensional.
It's hard to tell like who's a financial advisor and who's not a financial advisor.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. But anyway, that's my shit.
Let's take a break.
Okay.
Okay. We're back.
Hello.
Guess who's back on a brand new second half of the podcast? Us.
Oh. Well, I thought you were going to surprise me with somebody.
No, it was supposed to be like a guess who's back on a brand new track kind of thing.
Oh.
Didn't. Okay. we hinted at it before, and it's already been spoiled.
I'm such a tease.
But welcome to Moderate Case Scenario for Gradual Self-Improvement.
Play that shit.
This is a segment where we talk about what we've done and what we were going to do to improve our mental health in the upcoming few weeks. You can't see this, but Rebecca is eating a fry.
They're not good colds.
All right. I can't stop the song. Oh, my
God. Oh, my God. This is a nightmare.
Okay. Claire de Lune, it turns out, when you can't stop it, is upsetting. Rebecca.
No, you first.
No, because I feel like you have some news.
Oh,
because
I already started. So, yeah. First of all, I did my taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Pause for applause.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I know I can't see or hear any of the listeners applauding, but yeah. I hope that they were driving and they took their hands off the wheel and clapped. And
oh, boy.
We'll see if they're okay.
But, Rebecca!
drive safe, guys. I did my taxes.
Yeah.
I owed... Oh, about $500 to the government.
Jesus Christ.
And I am fully broke now. So, thank you mm-hmm. for bearing witness to this. It's upsetting.
Yeah, that's super upsetting.
So that really sucked. I hate it.
Yeah.
I hate it a lot.
But
I did them. But in even more exciting news,
yeah.
And what perfect timing
right.
with this being, right. with us not checking in for a while.
For a while.
I start therapy tomorrow.
Whoa.
Oh, not tomorrow. Sorry. Friday.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry. That's less exciting. I got a therapist. So we're recording Wednesday. It's coming out Thursday. So by the mm-hmm. time you're listening to this, if you're listening on the day it drops, I hope you are if you're a real fan. kidding. Yes, I'm going to therapy on Friday.
Do you know what you're going to talk about?
That's the thing. I have my list is so extensive.
How extensive is it?
Thank you. And all of this stuff is, like, very different from one another. And
yeah.
ultimately, they're all related because they're all about me. Because it's all about me.
Yeah.
But I don't know where to begin. And I'm a little overwhelmed. But I heard that she's nice. So
that's great.
From some girl that was stoned at a party that I don't remember her name.
Right,
it's that
right.
one. I think I talked about it on the podcast. Where I
think you might have talked about it on the first episode.
No. This was a couple weeks ago.
Well, it would have been cool if you talked about it.
No. This was a few weeks ago. I said I was at a party. And this girl that I was talking to... was like, oh my God, you should go to my therapist.
Right. If that girl's listening, either that's a really accurate impression of you or we're sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry. And I was like, oh yeah. And she gave me her name and I, she approved me and
nice.
She takes my insurance.
Nice.
So I guess if we ever come back, I'll let you guys know all about it. And
yeah,
if
yeah.
we don't, then sucks to be you.
God.
But just assume I'm fine.
Yeah.
I am excited. She's very pretty. Not that it matters. On her Psychology Today profile,
yeah.
she has like a photo and I was like, oh, okay.
How fucked up would it be if Psychology Today had like the chili pepper thing like Rate My Professor does when a professor's attractive?
I haven't heard Rate My
so
Professor in so many years.
Yeah.
I haven't heard anyone
welcome
say
back.
That. Thank you. It's so good to be back. That was such a fucked up category on that.
Yeah, right.
But like also kind of funny. no, she hot. I think I like saw her picture and I scoffed. What are you trying to prove? But yeah, it'll be fine.
Yeah. No, I'm excited for you.
Thank you so much.
That sounds great.
Yeah. I hope it will be great.
Yeah.
I'm feeling good about it. I feel optimistic. Although I am nervous she'll tell me things I don't want to hear. Or I'll say things that she'll take to mean exactly what they mean and tell me what I already know and right. don't want to accept.
What's the likelihood of her saying to you, so you're like a stupid little baby, right?
I mean, in my wildest dreams, I can only pray that she says that to me.
Yeah.
I might spontaneously combust.
All right. Did I tell you, I think I told you in real life, but I didn't say it on the podcast. A few therapy sessions ago, I stopped my therapist in the middle of what she was saying because I was like, I need to tweet something.
It's one of my favorite things you've ever said.
I need to tweet something that I just said. And it was...
And she was like, go ahead.
She was like, go ahead. No, I understand. I was like, I'm so sorry. And she was like, go ahead. And the tweet was, I just said, Aaron Sorkin's view of morality is so skewed and so flawed, and yet I've been indoctrinated. and made some point about like... The absolute nature.
Yeah, what the
nature.
Fuck were you talking about in therapy that led you to say such an insane thing?
I think it was truly about like, and I'm reading this through a...
Oh my god.
No, but I think it was like about the absolute nature of right or wrong and how that doesn't exist.
God.
Okay, there was the thing.
Your poor therapist.
I know, my poor therapist. Because like, here's the thing, and I don't mean to... I will be fine. I think I'm just going through a really rough time and I think things will be better in 1 or 2 months. But,
okay.
The last time I talked to my therapist, you know that scene in Parks and Recreation where Ron Swanson goes into a Home Depot and an employee asks him, how can I help you? And Ron immediately replies, I know more than you.
Yeah.
I almost said I know more than you.
You've been down this road before in therapy. Haven't you learned?
Right. And the previous therapist, if you're just joining in, said to me, like, I thought I was smarter than her. And she was like, oh, someone with a master's degree? And just fucking owned me. It was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that this therapist would say something like that.
I thought you were going to say, I don't think that this therapist has a master's degree.
No, I don't know if she does, but like, I don't think she would say something like that. And like,
right.
The last time was the first time I was like, oh, I genuinely disagree with you. Like,
so you think your therapist is dumb?
No, but like I think I win the argument of why the world is a terrible place. I think I win that argument. And like,
if you think that that is a problem for her.
Yeah. I don't know because like, I don't think anyone could say that with true authority, but the idea of like, I wasn't having a conversation with someone. Mm-hmm. She's very, religious and I wasn't.
Okay.
And I still am not, despite me playing in a Christian rock band in high school. Okay.
And writing about Jesus. almost every week.
And, finally one day we talked about religion and she was like, why don't you believe? And I was like, if I had the power to create joy and sorrow and things, or to create nothing at all, I would have created nothing at all.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't think the sorrow is worth the...
Right. You don't believe in the thing of, like, you can't experience...
Yeah, you can't...
The highs without experiencing the lows.
Yeah, you can't power wash sadness away. You know what I mean? It's always there. It's not worth the...
Right.
Yeah.
Mm.
But yeah. I've been going on morning walks.
Great. That's so nice.
That's
are they
actually
helping?
Been okay. I think so. I don't know. I think work gives me a lot of anxiety.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I feel that sometimes. I try to block out a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Probably not the healthiest, but it works a bit.
Yeah.
Compartmentalizing.
Do you have any other plans of things to do?
To improve?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as I say so many times, like exercise, I know I'm like sort of eating fries right now, but like I have been eating better and spending less money. One of the things I was doing is like, I'm trying not to like spend money during the day, like on lunch and stuff. Like I'm trying to either find stuff around the office that's free or like, you know, just be really frugal. Mm-hmm. Because I am like in a financial pickle. So I do need to spend less during the day and I have
cucumber.
I have been, thank you. I have been. And also just like, exercise is something I really need to do, but I have been doing more like artistic, like creative stuff for myself and that is really helping.
Yeah.
So I'm going to keep doing that. And yeah, I feel okay.
Can I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
When you write, how tired are you after?
I haven't. The creative stuff I've been doing actually isn't like screenwriting.
Uh-huh.
I don't really feel tired after I write. I usually feel a little high.
See,
after
that used to be the case with me, and now every time I write, I still feel good about it after.
Mm-hmm.
I am so tired after.
Yeah,
I think it's because like,
well, any mental exertion can be tiring.
Yeah. I guess I just, maybe I'm just like super out of shape. I don't know. I need to do more Sudoku or something. But like,
I had a really bad addiction to that for a long time.
Sudoku?
Yeah. You know how some people say Sudoku and you're like, can you read?
Yeah.
You fucking idiot. Can you fucking read?
Something that's really funny that sometimes, or really insensitive depending on how you look at it. Oh God. I'm just realizing now it's very insensitive.
Cool.
But like,
hit me.
People when they say commit Sudoku instead of commit.
Seppuku?
Yeah, I don't know how to pronounce it, but like...
See, but even if we're pronouncing it wrong, we're getting the letters right.
Right.
Like, we're not pronouncing the letters wrong, it's just we're putting the accent potentially on the wrong syllable.
Yeah.
But they are swapping... Look, if they have dyslexia, I'm not trying to be a bully.
Right.
But I think a lot of these people are just like, it's like...
But she wants your lunch money.
But like 50-year-old white men, how they say Chipotle or Chipotle.
Oh.
Like...
Yeah, that's upsetting.
What, do you know peppers even? Like, what is wrong with you? I'm sorry, I have zero patience.
You were that girl in school who would like just judge others and be like, do you even know your peppers and spices?
Uh-huh, yeah, I was always saying that.
Yeah, it's
pretty annoying. Yeah. It's like when, you know, my biggest pet peeve is people who say...
God, please don't let it be something that I do.
No, okay. It's not something you do.
Thank God.
Obviously, my biggest pet peeve is when people call me Rachel when they know my name is Rebecca. When they respond to an email that I sent that was sent with from any of my email accounts, which always say like Rebecca Steinberg emailed you or whatever.
Yeah.
And I sign it with my name and then they like reply and they call me Rachel. But even bigger than that, no, same level as that, is when people say it's so addicting instead of addictive. Addicting is not a word.
Mm.
Look it up. It's not a fucking word. Sorry.
Rebecca, can you put the knife away?
Sorry. My eyes are bleeding. But yeah, it's like Sudoku is another one that really like really makes exciting. Me angry. Yeah. Why are we talking about Sudoku? Oh, because you want to build up your brain stamina. Strength.
Yeah.
You should do crosswords. New York Times crossword puzzles.
I was never good at those.
Me neither.
Yeah.
It's too many obscure references.
Yeah, I'm not worldly enough.
I know that's literally the point. But.
And I was just like, I could just Google all this. Like, I know that's like the worst.
It's literally the problem. Is you're supposed to be knowledge.
You're supposed to be worldly knowledge.
Are you that person that like goes to? Well, you for sure don't go to trivia. And neither do I. But like, are you the person who like goes to trivia with a group of your friends and go to a bar and then you're looking up the questions on your phone under the table? Obviously, you don't do any of those things. But if you were, would you be the person looking them up?
Okay, hang on. Because here's my thought process. Because I think because I'm a nerd, you could assume that I do trivia.
Right, but then
so
I mean
you saying that of course I don't do any of this is because you think that I don't do anything ever, right?
Because it involves like being in a group of people and going out to a bar at night.
All right, fine. Yes, I don't go to trivia, but I could.
I've never bullied someone for not doing trivia. I don't do trivia. Not because I have something against it, I just like never go.
Yeah. No, I don't.
It's just funny, the idea of me bullying you for doing that is funny to me. For not going.
You don't even go to trivia, do you?
This is what it's come to, you know?
Yeah. I think that's our show.
Yeah, you know, this has been a normal episode.
Yeah. Thank you to everyone who's listened to this.
We'll be back, right?
I think so. Yeah. We just have to figure some things out.
I feel like I know a lot of people that want to be on it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I feel like I know one person.
I know. I can think off the top of my head of a bunch of people that have scenes to write. I think the thing is just like it's hard for us to like come up with these scenes every single week.
Right.
Because we're going to start repeating ourselves hardcore or we're each going to hit like a point where everything we haven't talked about yet is so intensely private.
Remember
that we can't.
Yeah. Remember that 2 week period where both of us were like, we were both anxious about a faceless, just looming anxiety.
Which wasn't bullshit. I mean,
not bullshit.
We both feel that for real.
Yeah.
But it's also because it's sometimes hard to find the words for what you're. Yes.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I think it would be fun to hear from other people.
Yeah.
And talk to them and get like a broader scope of other people's anxieties because I feel like you and I have a pretty good sense of each other's anxieties, at least what we're willing to share with one another and this podcast.
Definitely.
So, potentially that's what we will do.
Yeah.
We'll see.
No
promises.
No. but truly, thank you.
I'll never tell. Sorry, that's your line, but you weren't saying it. So
I'll never tell.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening.
Oh yeah, for real. Thank you.
Yeah. It's been really nice to read everyone's comments.
Yeah, you guys are really nice.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I'm not. You know, the thing is, I'm actually nice to everyone except you.
Jesus. What am I supposed to do with that information?
I don't know. Okay. Bask in the glory.
All right. Well, thanks
for listening. We'll see you when we see you. It's been real.
It's been real. Thanks for listening to Worst Case Scenario.
Yeah. You know. We're so grateful. If you would like to email us.
That's not sarcastic. It was just because we were so awkward in our outro.
So awkward.
Yeah, yeah.
I just, if you want to continue this conversation off pod. I was sorry, vomiting in my mouth.
Yeah, me too.
Email us at worstcasescenariopod@gmail.com.
Yeah.
We respond to all the emails, mostly because there aren't that many, but also just we like hearing from you guys and yeah, it's just nice. We like talking to you.
Yeah.
So let us know. And also follow us on Instagram at Worst Case Scenario Pod. We don't post a lot, but you might as well.
Yeah. If you're looking for some more art in your life, please follow Art by Rough House on Instagram. That's Art by RUFFHOUSE. She did our lovely podcast art. And it's definitely like a cool account to have show up in your feed.
Yeah, she's awesome.
And if you like her theme music, please follow at notalent__ on Twitter. He's incredible. He just reached out to us after our first episode and was like, I'd love to do music for you guys. And while we were hesitant,
so nice.
At first we listened to his stuff and was like, holy shit, this is awesome.
Yeah.
So please check him out.
That's all we got.
Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.